Where are the bodies of the unsaved? Where are the bodies of the unsaved? Well, Revelation 20:13 says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So right now, the soul of the unsaved person is in a place of torment. The body is, the Bible says, the sea gave up the dead. So those who died and their bodies drowned in the sea, their bodies will be given up. Death, the bodies that are being held on this earth in whatever capacity, whether they were cremated, whether they went to the grave, death.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching history of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for us today for the conclusion of the Great White Throne Judgment, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the Great White Throne Judgment, Part 2.
This one, in my sanctified imagination, that there's a big screen when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, that there's a big screen there, and Jesus just begins to flash all those things that you thought you got away with up on there, and it's seen for you to remember. That's one thing. But I believe another way that God could do it is just as you stand there at the great white throne, that God can, in your mind, just begin to bring all these things up. So they might not be flashed on a screen, right? But just in your mind, thing after thing after thing after thing after thing that you thought you got away with is just rehearsed, brought back up in your mind. Secrets that you thought you got away with. Notice what he says. In the day when God shall judge the secret things. The secret things. The next book. Now remember, what did he say? God opened the books and judged them. What were the books? Well, according to Dr. Wilmington, the book of conscience, the book of words, the book of secret things, and yep, you got it, the book of your works. The book of your works. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. So we got those secret things again, right? Whether it be good or whether it be evil. So when you stand, when people stand at the judgment seat, God is going to bring every work, you know, the evil deeds that people did, the wicked things that people did, God will bring their works, and their works will witness against them at the judgment seat of Christ. And then the book of life. The book of life. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. So there's the book of life that's in heaven, Revelation 20 and verse 12. I thought I had something here. Okay, I guess I didn't put it in. I thought I had something on the book of life, but let me tell you what this book of life is, all right? The book of life, also known, or as people would say today, AKA the Lamb's book of life. And so we see that the book of life is a book that has all the names of the saved people in it. And it says that he opened the book, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, how do people's names get in the book of life? Well, there's two theories, and you know what, this is in your notes. So again, you have it there before you, it's in your notes. One way is Revelation, let me read Revelation 17 in verse 8. Revelation 17, if you got your Bibles and want to turn there, please feel free to do that. Revelation 17 and verse 8. And the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. Look at this. Whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. So God knew who was going to be saved from the foundation of the world. And he wrote their names in the book of life. So that now at the great white throne, a book that will witness against unsaved people is the book of life, because their name was not written in that book from the foundation of the world. So at that point, God all, you know, and really let's think about it. God always knew who was going to get saved and who wasn't going to get saved. And so he wrote their names down in the book of life. Now there's another view that says everybody's name is written in the book of life. And when they die, if they haven't accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, then their books are their name is taken out of the books. So that those are the two views as to how people's name get in the book of life. One is because they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and God knew that. And so from the very beginning, God wrote their name in the book. That's one view. The other view says that everybody who has ever lived, their name has been written in the book of life. And when they die, if they die without Jesus, if they die without being righteous, that their names are taken out. But this seems to be the key here. If your name ain't in here, you ain't getting in. You know, it's you can go and you can say, well, I know so-and-so, right? You know, I know so-and-so. And all God is going to do is open the book. And if your name is not in the book, you're not getting in. You could go and you can say, well, did not do all these good works in your name, did not cast out demons, did not feed the poor, did not clothe the naked, did not visit those who were in prison. And God is going to say, those are some good things. Those are some good things that you did. But let me look at the book. And if he opens the book and your name is not in the book of life, you can't get in. And not only can you not get in, but the Bible says that you'll be cast into the lake of fire. So these are the witnesses against the defendants. So, you know, I believe that, you know, when people stand at the great white throne, it's just not going to be, okay, boom, you're judged, you're going. I believe that, you know, God is going to bring up all these things to let them know why they haven't gotten in. But the most important thing is that they didn't accept Christ, because had they accepted Christ, they would have been excused from the book of conscience, the book of words, the book of secret things, and the book of works, had they accepted Jesus Christ. So, you know, the fact is that, you know, people say, how could a loving God send anybody to hell? Well, you know, God doesn't send anybody to hell. People go to hell because they refuse to accept his plan. They refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's why they go to hell. And then when they go, these things witness against them, you know, to say, well, this is why you were born right here. This is the very reason why you're born. The book of conscience, the book of words, the secret things, the book of works. And most of all, your name is not in the book of life. What is the verdict? 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 When they stand there, you are a sinner by birth, you are a sinner by choice, and you refuse to accept God's pardon. You are a sinner by birth. You can't get away from this. Everybody that's born, David said, behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me, right? He was shaped in iniquity and conceived in sin. What this means is he had a sin nature, that the minute that the egg and the sperm came together, something else also happened. And that is the baby received a sin nature, right? So sinner, and that's probably maybe by birth, I might have to go back and change that. Sinner by conception, because the minute that you were conceived, that you inherited a sin nature. Okay, so the verdict, guilty because you are a sinner by birth. Secondly, you are a sinner by choice. Romans 3:10-12, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So we choose to sin. Somebody said, well, I don't sin. Well, if 1 John chapter 1 says you a liar, so that means you sin right there. It says that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, that we are sinners by birth, we are sinners by choice. But God has made a way for us to escape. And the escape is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so people who refuse to accept God's pardon will be guilty. And it says here, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. So the verdict is in. When you stand before the great white throne and you are judged out of the book of conscience, the book of words, the book of secret things, the book of works, the book of life, the verdict is you are guilty on three accounts. You are a sinner by birth, a sinner by choice, and you have refused to accept God's pardon. And at this point, we see the great confession. I talked about this a little bit last week, that the only thing you can do at this point, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name.
Jesus.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. When you've been judged out of the books, when the verdict has been given, the only thing you can do is bow your head, bow your knee, and say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The great confession. I shared with you last week about that commercial that says you can pay me now or you can pay me later. You can pay me now by accepting Jesus Christ and confessing him as your Lord and Savior. You can pay me now, or you can pay me as you stand at the great white throne and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I like the song, He is Lord, He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That He is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You can pay me now. I thank God that back in 1977, I believe it was, that in a church on the east side of Pittsburgh, that I went to church with Pastor Alvin Berkeley, and the preacher gave the invitation, and I went forward. And that night, I confessed that Jesus Christ was Lord, and God saved me. Amen. The great confession. You can pay me now, or you can pay me later. The sentence, and whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So if you'll follow this little diagram that I put together at the top, you see it says, rest in peace, RIP. That is the grave, right? That is the grave where a person's body goes. The grave also was known in the Old Testament as Sheol. And in the New Testament, the grave could mean, be referred to as Hades. On the left-hand side, there was what was known as paradise or Abraham's bosom. And that was a place of comfort. On the right-hand side was Hades, which was a place of torment. And you remember Abraham told the rich man that between the two, there was a great gulf fixed, that the two were separated. On the one side, you got paradise. On the other side, you got Hades, which is a place of torment. So as I said, Hades actually could mean the grave, or it could mean a place of torment, depending on the context. All right. So here we see that the dead have gone to the grave, their bodies. Their soul, as I said earlier, went to Hades, a place of torment. After the great white throne, you'll see that Revelation 20:15 says that they will be cast into the lake of fire. Cast into the lake of fire. Now, in my book on prophecy, I took this chart from my book on prophecy, where I have a whole chapter on hell. So maybe we'll do a study on that sometime. But the Bible speaks of hell in three concepts. The lake of fire, the bottomless pit, you know, that is a place where there's no bottom, the bottomless pit. And then there's a place called Tartarus, which is another place. Inhale, and that seems to be reserved for the demons, Tartarus. But those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, after the great white throne, they will actually be cast into the lake of fire. And again, to me, one of the saddest verses in the Bible is, whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, let's deal with this as we wind down our study for today. Let's deal with this. Are there degrees of punishment in hell? Are there degrees of punishment in hell? And the answer to that question is yes. Yes, there are. We see in Matthew 11, 21 through 24, and we shorten these verses, unrepentant people who have seen the mighty works of God will have greater accountability. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. This is Jesus speaking. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. So in other words, people who have been exposed to the power of God and have refused to bend their knee in their heart and accept Jesus, I believe that, and this breaks my heart to say this, I believe that a person who sat in church all their life, and let's just say they go to Bethany, and the 30 some years that I've been in Bethany, every week I give an invitation for people to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And can you imagine someone that's been coming for a significant number of time, and every week they hear me give the invitation, but they're not saved? I believe that their hell, the degree of punishment in hell, will be worse for them than for a person that maybe never heard the gospel, or for a person that didn't hear it that much. You know, I believe that the more, and Ed Booker brought this up last week when he was talking about, you know, the more that you receive, the more accountable that you are. And so those who have heard and seen the works of God, I believe that they're more accountable, and that their degree of hell would be greater than a person that hasn't heard as much. Religious hypocrites will receive a greater judgment. And he said unto them, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms in the feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. They shall receive. So people who acted religious, people who were hypocrites, you know, they wanted people to believe that they were righteous, but they really weren't. The Bible says, these shall receive greater damnation. So this person's hell will probably be worse than a person who wasn't a hypocrite. Those who have been unfaithful, which they have been given, will receive greater punishment. And I think this might have been the verse that Deacon Booker referred to last week. I'm not sure. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did not commit the things worthy of stripes, he shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto him, unto whom much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And so notice he says two things in here, that those who knew and didn't do it, they were beaten with many stripes. And those who received much, that God will require more from them. So again, you know, people that heard the gospel over and over and over again, they have received much. And God says that he will require more from them. And notice, go back, and it says that he will be beaten. Notice how it puts in here, beaten with many stripes. Well, what does that mean to be beaten with stripes? It means that you did something wrong and you're being punished, right? That the bigger the crime, the greater the punishment, many stripes. So this seems to be an indication that some people will receive a greater judgment. Unbelievers will be judged according to their works. We already looked at this in Revelation, the small and dead, great and small, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, according to their works. So, you know, maybe somebody like a Hitler who slaughtered millions of Jews, you know, and God opens up his book and we see the works that are in it, that he's going to receive a greater judgment. Now, you know, I hate to even think about this thought, and I hate to even say this, but if you think about it, and this blows my mind, that in his hour of mercy, if Hitler cried out to God and threw himself and said, I received Jesus Christ. Man, it's hard for me to believe that. I don't even want to think about that too long. You know, that God would have forgave him. But he will be judged based upon his works and the fact that he slaughtered millions of people. I believe that his hell will be worse than someone, than another person. So we see that there are degrees of punishment in hell. So there are people that go there. I mean, I don't want to go anyways. I thank God that I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'm on my way to heaven. And the journey gets sweeter every day. Thank God. But you know, there will be people in hell who will suffer at various levels of punishment. And so, you know, that is very clear according to the scripture.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of God's Witnesses During the Tribulation. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Great White Throne Judgment Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Great White Throne Judgment Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Great White Throne Judgment Part 2 from our Bible Prophecy Series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be lost in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.